There are a lot of things that, as you go through life, you are tested for. Growing up, going to school, you would be tested for almost every class. That you'd have to prove to the teacher that you knew what was going on, that you had listened to the material, that you hopefully understood it. You had to learn where nations were. You could take a geography test or a math test, and you had to know the formulas that you had to use. You would be tested in all sorts of ways. And then you get a little older and you face other types of tests. You had to take a driving test. Turns out they don't just let anyone drive, despite appearances, that you actually had to be tested for that. And of course, most recently, many of us, maybe all of us, have had a different type of test. That our nose has been tickled in various ways as we've been tested for COVID. Perhaps you've gone down to the fairgrounds over here and taken a test, and you had to wait a while to see what the answer was. Maybe you've had those at-home tests. Swab your own nose and find out in 10 minutes if you're sick with that or with something else. That time of waiting, you've done the swab and it's all been put together, or someone else has swabbed you and now you're waiting for that call. Well, let's see how long it takes. And the whole time, every little... No, it's nothing. It's nothing, right? Well, that one sounded like it might be something. Oh, I don't know. And you wait and you wait, and maybe it's a 15-minute wait and you find out, or maybe it's a couple of days. Oh, okay. You don't have it. Maybe it's a disappointment sometimes. If you've seen a lot of other people quarantine and get out of work, you thought, man, I'd want to stay home for a few days. And then you remember, well, some of those people got to spend a few days in the hospital or quite a long time in the hospital. And you think a day off might not be so bad, but I don't want to spend the rest of my life, which I was hoping was going to last quite a bit longer, doing something else, struggling to breathe. These types of tests that perhaps are small things and perhaps are really big things. All types of ways that we're tested like that. Going to the doctor and they say, you know, I want to run a few tests. You don't have to study for it, but we're going to need some blood. And then that worst case scenario where the doctor calls you up and says, we have your results and I want you to come in before I'll tell you them. What? Why'd you call me? Now I know you have them, and man, I hope it's one of those scenarios where the doctor just wants to celebrate how healthy I am. Andrew, congratulations. You are textbook healthy. We just want permission from you to use these test results for the next edition of our textbooks. We're going to say this is what good blood looks like. And that's why we called you in here. You're in great health. I don't know if doctors ever do that. I'm waiting for that result to come back sometime. Tests that can change everything. And we're tested in other ways. Even those who are not people of faith, they speak of moments of testing in your life. Times when you had to decide if you would stick with what you say you value or if that was a flexible arrangement. When temptation comes, when other things drag you away, what will happen? Joshua, here as we get to Joshua chapter 23, we've gone through these stories of Joshua leading the people into the land. They've crossed the Jordan and they've had amazing victories. And along the way, there were some setbacks. When the people weren't faithful, things didn't go well. The army lost its strength. And when they followed God, things went really well. No one could stand before them. And they went through much of the land. And then If you remember previously here in the chapters we covered the last weeks, they split up the land. They look at all the various places and what tribe will live where. And so now the land has been portioned up and Joshua comes to give some final words to the people. And as he comes to speak to them, it's not only good news, but there is still more to do and still much that lies ahead. We pick up in Joshua chapter 23. A long time afterward, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, "I am now old and well advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. For it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. Behold, I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes those nations that remain, along with all the nations that I have already cut off, from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of your sight, and you shall possess their land just as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the left, to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. And as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you puts to flight a thousand, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised you. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. For if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you, and make marriages with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good ground that the Lord your God has given you. And now I am about to go the way of all the earth. And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you, not one of them has failed. But just as all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things, until he has destroyed you from off this good land that the Lord your God has given you, if you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land that he has given to you." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. And we ask that you would stir us up in heart and mind today, that we would know and love you more. Lord, transform us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Here, Joshua gives some additional instructions, a warning and a promise, laying out what lies ahead for the people. It says it takes place a long time afterward. Several chapters back, God came to Joshua and told him that he was kind of getting old, and now it's a long time after that. So, as he says, he's about to go the way of all the earth. But before he does, he needs to speak to them. What lies ahead for them in this case is not just smooth sailing. As a leader, he's led them to great things. And yet, there is much that lies ahead. And in fact, there is still a test for them. A test for the people of God. And it's a test which not only came upon Joshua and those people, but which reflects on all the people of God at all times. The test of our faithfulness. This test of our faithfulness. How will you live? What will you do? Now that God has given you salvation, that he has opened this land, that the people have moved into and they have a measure of rest. Now what? For us today who have received salvation through the work of Jesus Christ, we received the Holy Spirit. Now what? For those who find yourself in a church on a Sunday morning, who have taken some steps to follow God, well, now what? Joshua lies out ahead of them a couple of ways that this test will take shape. First, he reminds them that still in the land there are other people. In verse 4, I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes those nations that remain. In verse 6, he tells them what is required of them now. Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law. He gives some of the details, what it meant for them, not mixing with those nations, making mention of the names of their gods, or swearing by them, or serving them, or bowing down to them. It's another example in this book of Joshua, where as this was put together, you can see the quality of the writing and how it's not just giving us the bare facts, but he slows down and he speeds up. Here he slows down at all those dangers. Do not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. Instead, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Wouldn't it be nice if he said, sit back and relax? If he said, take it easy, you've done a lot already, now a little bit of obedience will go a long way. But I think if you reflect on your own life, you will know that actually obedience takes a measure of strength. That is with good reason that he says, be very strong. That sin is a powerful enemy. That obeying the commandments takes strength and dedication. It takes a measure of training. This wasn't something that would happen without any planning. These people were called to drive out these nations. And there was a promise along with it that God would be doing the work, driving them out before the men of Israel. But they had to go about that work. In the same way, as Christians, we've been promised great victory in sin, and yet we must be strong to resist. Verse 11 says it another way. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. He's just said, one man of you puts to flight 1,000, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised you. It's incredible, incredible victory. 1 versus 1,000. Those are good odds for you. The 1,000 should be scared, and they have been. God is with you in a mighty way. Today, as Christians in the new covenant, the Holy Spirit is with you. The presence of God wherever you go. that those who face persecution around the world do so knowing that the Holy Spirit is upon them. That they face people who at most can harm this body, but their soul is safe. But we have the same privilege today that God is with us, that he sends us in mighty ways, that the outreach that we try to do here, the movie nights, and as we come to watch The Chosen and gather for a meal. I like this show, and I'd love to have dinner with all of you. But so much better knowing that the Holy Spirit is with us. That this is God's world, and we should have no fear in approaching a neighbor or a friend and inviting them to come and learn about Jesus. This is our dad's world. What door is closed to us? And then he comes to that verse 11. If this is true, if God has been with you to such a degree that 1,000 men run before you. Imagine the crowd. Being one of those soldiers and you pull out your sword and this vast multitude turns and runs. The people in the back don't even know what's happening yet. He's got a sword. Run away. God is on his side. And then he says, so then be very careful to love the Lord your God. Be very careful to love the Lord your God. What a strange thing. When we think of love, we often think of falling in love. Or like it's an emotion that just kind of comes upon you. You can't help falling. Falling is something that happens whenever something below you is gone. So the best I can do is I can try to pick up my feet quick enough that then I fall down on my butt. Or I'm on a stage, if I go forwards far enough, I can fall. But falling in love, we often talk of like that. Well, the right thing comes along, the right person comes along, and then love just happens. Or you've seen God's presence, he's blessed you, you've read his word, and so now then love just kind of happens. But that's not how Joshua thinks of it. He says, be very careful. Be very careful to love the Lord your God. Be very careful. I think there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians and are not at all careful to love God. Perhaps you hope that it will just kind of happen, that if you go to church enough, you'll fall in love with God. If I sing a good enough song, then maybe I'll start to love God. I think there's a lot of Christians who, if they were being honest with you, people who say, yes, I'm a Christian, I've been going to church my whole life. When I die, I'll go to heaven, and they'd say, I sure hope it's nothing like church. I haven't liked a moment of it. I'm hoping when I get there and see the guy, I'll start to like him. But boy, he's made it hard for me here on earth. Be very careful to love the Lord your God. If you think of what it takes to be a good spouse, to love your husband or your wife, you must be careful to love them. If you went through married life saying, it's fine, I'll probably love them when I get home. When I see them face to face, yeah, I'm sure there'll be plenty of love there. But as long as I'm out, let me just take a look around. Let me see who's else out there, because who knows, I could fall in love with somebody else. That's not being very careful with your love. It is all too easy to be much less than careful with our love as it relates to God. The warning that Joshua gives, and this test of faithfulness ahead of the people and ahead of us today, will you love God? Or will you mix with the nations around you? Will you hear of their gods, the things that they worship and value? Will you call on those names? Will you swear by them and serve them and bow down to them? There are many things that this world puts its trust in, aside from God. Many things that they will let you swear on. Trust in your bank account, in your future earnings. Much of our society is based on the idea of credit that is putting your trust in tomorrow's earnings. And you can start to love it, to swear by it. I know I'll be okay because my retirement account is big enough. I'll know I'll be okay because the house is paid off now. 29 and a half years for me. I know I'll be okay because just like my neighbor who does not have God, I trust in those things too. There are good things in this world that nonetheless can draw us away from God. Things that God has given as blessings, good food, enjoying this world. But when we exalt our love for those things above our love from God, then they drive us away. That in all these things we can enjoy them, yes. We can participate in this society around us, yes. But in all these things, let us love God. Let us put our faith first in Him. Let Him be our first love in all things. That we would say, whatever my income looks like, whatever retirement looks like, I will be okay because God is my Father and He is good. And I will be okay if He takes everything away, and I will be okay if He blesses me with plenty. This test of our faithfulness. There is an answer to this test. And the answer is God's faithfulness. The answer doesn't actually come through our hard work and dedication. But we are called to faithfulness, and yet the answer comes in God's faithfulness. Here's what it says in verse 14 and following. You know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. This incredible reminder of God's faithfulness, that God is faithful. And in fact, He takes just a little bit of faithfulness on our part. That moment of stepping forwards and trusting in God. I hand it all over to you. Save me, Lord. And then He is faithful from then on. That He is faithful to do every good thing, that His promises are true. And yet there is another side to God's faithfulness. In verse 15, just as all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you. You know how good God has been. But so the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things until He has destroyed you from off this good land that the Lord your God has given you if you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God which He commanded you and go and serve other gods and bow down to them. The anger of the Lord will be kindled against you and you shall perish quickly from off the good land that He has given to you. This terrible warning of God's faithfulness, not just in blessing, but also in judgment. That God knows our hearts. As much as you can put up an act here on earth and fool those around you, you cannot fool God in His judgment. He knows who goes to church on Sunday morning because they are faithful and following Him. And who is dragged there kicking and screaming who is forced to come, or who has found a way to fit in with a group of friends, but actually calls on other gods. And more than that, there are many in this world, many around us, as easy as it is in this land to get a Bible, to hear the gospel message on TV or radio, as easy as it is to come to a church and hear the gospel preached, there are many who do not believe. And a part of God's faithfulness is his faithfulness in judgment. That the words of Scripture are full not just of blessings and promises for those who believe, but also warnings and judgments. For us, and not in the time of Joshua called to drive the people out, but in the time after Jesus, to go into all the nations, that wherever we go, we would be making disciples. We would be calling people in. God's faithfulness is a great blessing. But it should motivate us in both ways. One, that God is faithful and we should not fear, despite our weaknesses, despite our struggles. When we put our faith in God, he is strong enough to save. And at that same time, that reminder that there is true judgment that comes. And that God, in his wisdom, has chosen you, his people, to spread the message of life. That 1,000 not would flee before our swords, but that we would see 1,000 come to know Jesus, giving them new life through our Father. God has called each of us to faithfulness, and he has called his congregation, every local church, this church here, to faithfulness. Where will we stand? Will we put our faith in other things and call out to them? Lord, I couldn't possibly offer my Tuesday night. I'm going bowling that day, you see. I prefer to write a little smaller check this month, if that's okay with you, God. No, please don't send me to my neighbor. Send me to Africa. I don't know anyone there. And in the end, we sit back and watch judgment come all around us. God has called us to faithfulness. What type of life will you live? God has blessed you. Not one good word of his has failed. So then, be faithful. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are faithful, that you give strength and mercy, that you offer grace, that you have given us your word and stir us up by it. Lord, we give you not just this hour, not just this day, but this week, the months ahead, the years ahead. Lord, let us hear your voice clearly and be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.